All right, this is supposed to be a brahmacharya class, so... I'll just read a few lines that Srila Prabhupada mentions here about brahmacharya life. In connection with Swadhyay. Swadhyay Vedic study is meant for brahmacharya or student life. Brahmachari should have no connection with women. They should lead a life of celibacy. And do we have any sound system? I need to speak for a few minutes, but my voice tends to get strained. Or you can shut the windows. Brahmachari should have no connection with women. They should live a life of celibacy and engage the mind in the study of Vedic literature for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is called Swadhyay. Swadhyay. There's not much written about brahmacharis in that purport compared to the other ashrams. Because it's very simple. Brahmachari life is very simple. I propose to write books on grihastha life in Krishna consciousness and sannyasa in Krishna consciousness, because I already did that book, Brahmachari in Krishna consciousness. And the book on family life in Krishna consciousness is going to be a lot bigger than the book on brahmachari life, because it's a lot more complex. Brahmachari life is very simple. Brahmachari life is, all of human life is meant for sacrifice for a higher cause. But especially brahmacharis, their motto is, or their life is described by Narad Muni, who's a brahmachari. As Brahmachari Gurukule Vasam Danto Gurur Hitam Acharan Dasavandi Cho Guru Sudhrida Sohridam. The Brahmachari lives in the residence of the Guru for the benefit of the Guru. He acts for not for his own benefit, does everything. What is pleasing to the Guru? He acts like a menial servant or a slave. The word das is sometimes translated as slave. With an attitude of firm friendship for the Guru. This principle was exemplified by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna himself, in the well-known pastime when, with his friend Sudama, while they were both living in the ashram of Sandipani Muni in Avanti, present-day Ujjain, they went to collect firewood in the forest that's required for brahmacharis, samitpani. They're supposed to bring firewood, especially the firewood, the kind of wood which is used for sacrifices, and of course other wood is needed for cooking also. One is supposed to approach the Guru with...
Please stand for our microphones.
No, it's okay. Samit. Samit means wood suitable for sacrifices. A particular kind of wood. It's not that... Of course, it's sometimes done. The orange boxes are broken and made into the fire for the yajna. But it's actually supposed to be a particular kind of wood. So they were going to collect the wood, and in the meantime a great storm broke out and they were stranded all night in the cold, and Sandipani was very pleased with them. It must have been very difficult for young boys in a frightening forest in which there are wild animals and snakes and the thunderbursts. Well, not just a thunderburst, Lord Krishna described later on. He described to Sudama that it was like the rain was like the devastation at the end of the universe. It was so serious. So they were stuck there all night. But when they arrived safely back at the ashram in the morning, Sandipani Muni was so pleased with them that they had taken so much difficulty for the spiritual master. And he said, this is the proper way to please the spiritual master. And he blessed Krishna. That because of doing this, that whatever you say will always remain in human society, extant in human society. And as a result, Bhagavad Gita, is still worshipped all over the world because of Sandipani Muni's blessing. So they sacrificed for the sake of, they sacrificed their own comfort for the sake of the Guru, and this is the motto of Brahmachari life. We use this word sacrifice a lot. The English translation of yagya is sacrifice. Vedic society is based on yagya. The society, Varnashram society, is based around performing public yagyas in which all the four Varnas cooperate to make it a success. They invoke the pleasure of the demigods and society prospers. So yagya is translated as sacrifice. Sacrifice in this context meaning a formal religious ceremony in which valuable items are offered. In the Vedic sacrifice, it's ghee or grains, or in previous ages, cows, horses, and there is also, even within the Vedic culture, narabali, or human sacrifice. That's done not. That's not part of the standard Vedic process, but tantrics may do that. Offer human beings. And that's in different parts of the world also. In South America, that was also going on. And it's rumored that sometimes it still goes on today in India, maybe. So anyway, the idea is offering something valuable. But that's there in the Judaic tradition also, isn't it? And the Islamic tradition of offering a camel. Or Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. So the idea was there. Sacrifice means to offer something valuable. The word sacrifice also, as a verb, it also means to forego one's own pleasure and comfort for the sake of benefiting others, or for the sake of a higher cause. So you could say someone sacrificed his life for the sake of his country. So Brahmachari life is very much about this kind of sacrifice. Not considering one's own personal comfort, but taking all kinds of difficulties for the sake of the higher purpose, the higher mission, which is spreading Krishna consciousness. Especially if we're talking about Brahmacharis in the modern age, or even traditionally, Brahmacharis, they didn't live comfortably. They lived very austerely. Their purpose was for developing higher consciousness. Because generally, comfortable living and high consciousness don't go together very well. Therefore, we have Hiranyakashipu. Gold and bed. So the bed is meant for sleeping and sex indulgence. And gold is meant for facilitating, in the eyes of demons like Hiranyakashipu, is meant for facilitating all kinds of sense gratification. So the simple, austere life is generally recommended for developing higher consciousness. It doesn't in and of itself give rise to higher consciousness, but if one's aim is fixed on developing higher consciousness, and one is guided in that way, and for that purpose foregoes material comfort, that will be conducive for developing higher consciousness, for becoming detached from sense gratification. So sacrifice is required, and definitely to spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world, it requires sacrifice. One may be a great scholar, expert in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things. Or one may be a very good cook or madanga player, or or may have so many skills in Krishna consciousness, but unless some devotees are prepared to take the difficulty of moving within the world for the sake of presenting Krishna consciousness and demonstrating Krishna consciousness within it, then the Krishna consciousness will not spread. That's why we see that Srila Prabhupada said that some of my godbrothers, they were much more austere than me and learned than me, but they didn't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, because Srila Prabhupada made the sacrifice of sacrificing the comfort of sitting in an ashram and being respected as an elderly senior devotee. He sacrificed respect that and the security he would get from being in an institutional position. He could have had a room in an ashram, but he sacrificed everything to go to the West and attempt to spread Krishna consciousness. So it's with that spirit that the Krishna consciousness movement can spread. And brahmacharis are in the best position to do that, because they don't have family encumbrances. Family members also have to sacrifice, have to work hard. It's difficult in the modern age to work and earn money and support a family. They're also sacrificing. They can't be avoided. But their sacrifice benefits a few people, namely their family members, and in a small way, unless of course the family members are Krishna conscious. And they may also in their spare time do a lot of service, but they don't have the same opportunity as brahmacharis do to sacrifice their time fully. Therefore, it is not at all proper for brahmacharis who are being supported by by grihasthas, who are sacrificing, working hard to earn money, and they donate to maintain ashram. So it's not at all appropriate that brahmacharis who live in the ashram simply live comfortably in the ashram at the expense of grihasthas who are working very hard. So the ashram, of course, we're not saying that there should be beds of nails or any such thing, or that there should be deliberate arrangements for discomfort. But brahmacharis, they have to do the service that is required of them, do the needful, as Srila Prabhupada said, means going out and preaching and deity worship. All kinds of service require various kinds of sacrifice. Sometimes devotees say about the sannyasis, oh, they're working so hard, they're traveling all over the world, that's the nice people. Some people say less charitable things about them. And that's true, but all the members of the Krishna consciousness, or many members of the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not just the sannyasis, brahmacharis and many grihasthas also. We'll see in the Janmashtami festival at the manor, so many well-to-do people, actually, some well-to-do businessmen are sacrificing their time, and for them time is money, and working throughout the night, for many nights, to arrange the program at the manor. So the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for Sankirtan Yajna. It is Sankirtan Yajna, and it can only run on sacrifice. It not just simply by theory and philosophy and talking, but actually people have to go out and do the work, set up the tents for the Janmashtami. Simply by philosophizing, the tents are not going to go up, the prasad isn't going to get cooked, and no one's going to distribute it. So this is required, and there will be difficulties, and sometimes you'll come in. What time did you come in at last night? It was after 11 o'clock, I know, because I was up at 11. I took rest before that, but I got up and so you still weren't there. So these things will happen, and again and again and again, and they may go on throughout your whole life. But that is actually the way to attract the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Simply by living comfortably, one cannot do so. The body will be burned out. From time to time, the mind may feel burned out also. But by doing that, Krishna is pleased. Just like Krishna and Sudama, if they hadn't gone into the forest, said, "Hey, look, there's a storm coming up. Okay, never mind, let's just stay behind." If we have a good excuse. If they had come back and said, "Look, we didn't get the firewood, or we didn't get enough because there's a big storm coming up," we went, "Okay, all right, acceptable." But anyway, they went out and they got caught in the storm, and Sandipani Muni was very pleased with them. And by his pleasure, Krishna, his words became so much worshipped in human society, Bhagavad Gita. So it's worth it. We don't complain, don't moan, don't groan. Just go out and pick the bone. That's one of that's Guru Kripa saying. How Vrindavan temple was built. He had devotees out collecting by means fair and foul, mostly foul. Anyway, he got the Vrindavan temple built, and Srila Prabhupada was pleased with that. And Guru Kripa Prabhu, despite his, I don't know if you know, even know the name now, there used to be, everyone used to know Iniskon Guru Kripa. Yeah, legendary. But, you know, he's had his ups and downs in Krishna consciousness, and since Prabhupada left, the downs seem to be more than the ups, but he's still there. There's no doubt he's got Prabhupada's mercy. There's no doubt. So, of course, it's better to remain directly on the path of Krishna consciousness without having such serious down and out experiences. But that spirit to sacrifice for Krishna, that will please Krishna. And at the end of life, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter whether you had nice Mahaprasad every day, whether you had a nice comfortable bed. These things, in fact, these things will be like a curse. If we have any motive to be Krishna conscious, we'll, at the end of life, we'll curse ourselves. Why didn't I do like that? The troubles, the difficulties that we take to serve Krishna, even though they may be very minor, we can't imagine what Srila Prabhupada went through to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but whatever, we should try our best. That doesn't mean we have to push us. What I mean to say is that we should be see the longer term also. I mean, we could decide just to serve 24 hours a day non-stop. And we used to see that in the early days of the movement, that some devotees, they would give up sleeping, practically, and eating for a few days. And they'd do a lot of service, and then they'd sleep for a long time because they're physically incapable of doing that. But it's also a good idea to have some kind of pacing oneself so that the body doesn't prematurely break down, as we're seeing with many of our sannyasis in ISKCON at the present time. Many of them have serious health problems, and it could be postulated that if they hadn't taken so much strain previously, then they wouldn't have so many health problems. Of course, it could also be postulated that the Krishna consciousness movement would be in worse shape than it is today, or it wouldn't have spread as much as it has done. So how to keep the balance? Often devotees ask this, how to keep the balance? Well, there is really no balance, because even if you try to keep it balanced, there's always something that comes up, just like all of a sudden you get a phone call from the airport, help! And you have to go out in the middle of the night. And what can you do? And then the next day you have to go on with your service. It's just like the pujaris at Janmashtami, they're working and they're doing service up to about 2 o'clock in the morning, and others may think, I'm going to sleep late the next morning. But for the pujaris, mangaladi as usual. There's no, and the day goes on, there's no break for them, especially if there are not enough pujaris, which is the case in almost all temples of ISKCON all over the world. So, usually we go toward more strain, which is better actually, rather than more comfort. Some pacing or some consideration of how to not unnecessarily wantonly strain the body. If we know that, for instance, if I know that, well, I have to give a lecture tomorrow morning, it wouldn't be a very good idea to eat a big meal at night unless we have a good digestion. Of course, the Indian devotees, they all eat big meals at night and somehow or other get away with it. But for me, it's a killer. So like this, using our intelligence. I mean, there are examples like Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who just pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself and left this world early. And that's a glorious example, in one way. And another way, we wish he was still here. Of course, some people, they don't wish he was still here. But Tribhuvanath Prabhu was glorious for his sacrifice. If he'd have led a comfortable life and lived to be 80, that would also be nice. I mean, not so pushing or just chanting, doing his service in a regulated way. That was also glorious. It's also good. Anyone who serves Krishna in any way, seriously, that's good. But if he hadn't made that sacrifice, then so many festivals and so much preaching in so many places wouldn't have taken place. To do what he did, for instance, that wouldn't have taken, it couldn't have happened. And the others who sacrificed for him, and the devotees who are going on even after his passing away at his request, they wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for his example. So not everyone is going to be a Tribhuvanath, that's is a unique devotee. But everyone has to do their part. This movement, it should spread more and more and more, but that can only happen if the members of the Krishna conscious movement are prepared to make a sacrifice and take difficulties and for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. So especially brahmacharis, they should be fully in this spirit. There used to be, under two temple presidents ago, I don't know if they still have this, but there used to be something, everyone has to perform minimum 6 hours service. There's like rules and regulations for the temple. Those who are living in the temple, there's no minimum 6 hours, 24 hours. Generally, at night you sleep, but if required, you have to get up and do something. It's not normal, but the cook suddenly got fever, and then someone has to cook. Can you cook? No, I only did 6 hours. There's no question for a brahmachari. There's no question of limitation on his hours of service. Of course, we don't push people so that they don't have to, or rather we like to see the brahmacharis engaged in study and regulated life as far as possible, but the spirit should be there to, as Srila Prabhupada said, do the needful. So that's all I'm going to say now, because I also have needful things to do. 100 pounds. Find them. You should make a rule like that, actually.
I heard I got fined this morning.
What are we going to do with you? You don't have any money, you're a brahmachari.
Community service.
Hey, what are the punishments here? Clean the toilets. Well, that's a blessing for the devotee. It's very difficult to punish a devotee. And say that no prasadam. That's about the worst punishment. But then that's also, you know, how can you deny a devotee prasadam? All right, any questions for a few minutes? What's the time, please?
10:15.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Anything? There are a lot of notes there. You got to remember all that?
No, that's why I wrote it down.
You don't have time to review all of that? Okay, any question? Quick.
Maharaj, quite often I experience that I know the right thing to do. You know,
but you do the wrong thing anyway. Is it? Well, that's straight Bhagavad Gita. Kena yukta, what is that? Atakena prayukta yam papam charati purushaha anicchan api varshayam balandi vandiyojita. What's the translation of this verse? Who spoke this?
Arjuna. Why do we do things against our will?
Even though we know it's wrong, why do we do it as if by force, the wrong thing? And what's the answer? Kama esha, krodha esha. Rajoguna samudalaha mahashana mahapama vindhi enamahavairinam. It's because of deep seated lust. Here we can take kam to mean a wrong desire. It's an attitude of wrong desire. So, how to counteract that? Well, the next few verses describes that. It's an ongoing process. That's why sadhana is the process of purification. We don't expect to be purified immediately. And there will be slips. Okay, alright, I'm going. Hare Krishna. I have something rather important to do. So I'm going. Hare Krishna. That has something to do with my Indian visa, which is essential to my service.